listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Love Rookie. She give them all the cookies. By cookies, I mean pussy. This girl is kind of Lucy Dudes. Take her off the shelf and they put her on credit. 30 days later, they return it and regret it. Used like a dish rag. Dumped it with a hashtag. I blame it on the pussy. That shit must be bad. Broken pussy. Hey, broken pussy. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast with your host Rod and
Karen.
Maybe it's really rough. Maybe it's had enough. Broken pussy. If you guys notice, Karen gets all these jokes now, and
I laughed at them regardless because they were funny, but now they actually mean something.
That's right. You guys, our premium, you guys might know this already. I don't know, but I got Karen to watch all of Insecure over the last 2 days. She came in the room to lay down or whatever, and I said, you know what, you're gonna get this work. So I played Insecure. We watched half the season because it's only 8 episodes in one season, and it's 30 minutes a episode, if not less. If you're out there listening and you haven't watched it, I mean, it's so easy to get caught up, and the show is so black, and it's so fun.
It was a lot quicker than I thought.
Right, so fun. It's a lot easier to get into, and the jokes are so good. So, you know, I hope other people out there, if you're listening, you're a little worried, you know, I hope you guys go and listen to it and enjoy the review. And now we know, find out on the review, what team is Karen?
Drew.
Is she Team Lawrence? Is she Team Issa? Is she Team Tasha? Well, what's going on, guys? You got to find out. Nobody's Team Daniel. Is it because he's short? Rewatching it, I noticed he was kind of short. So, short guy Twitter. A lot of y'all are on Team Lawrence. Y'all need to be on Team Daniel. I don't know what's wrong with you guys, but you're not meeting the height requirements for Team Lawrence. I'm just saying. A lot of 5'8" type dudes trying to be on Team Lawrence when they should be rooting for Team Daniel. I'm just saying. At any rate, this is our feedback show on the Black Guy Who Tips. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search for us, the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews and we'll read them on the air. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And yeah, today's podcast brought to us by fans like you. Thank you for supporting the Black Guy Who Tips through you can do it through donations, you know, purchasing merchandise and stuff, which we should have some new stuff here soon. I just need to send out these release forms. I don't know what's taking me so long. We got y'all. Okay. By the way, I want that shirt from Insecure. Why haven't y'all monetized them shirts, Issa? I'm just saying.
Yeah, then we got y'all shirt.
Yeah, I know she listens. Okay. She say nigga too much not to have people on the staff to listen to the show. I'm just saying. Come on. All right. Let's get into the people that did donate though.
Recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day. And new money as well. Let's talk about that. Stefan H, recurring donator. Thank you, Stefan.
Sweetie.
Patrick D, recurring donator. Thank you, Pat.
Hey, Pat.
Johnny R, recurring donator. Thank you. Omat A, recurring donator. Thank you, Omat.
Thank you.
Mary H, recurring donator. Mary had a little money. She gave us some.
Yes, she did.
Corey B, recurring donator. Thank you very much.
Hey, Corey.
Joseph O is a brand new recurring donator. Thank you very much, Joe. Okay.
Join the new members class, baby.
I want to know. Okay. Andy S, watch a girl around Joe, guys.
Yeah,
I'm just
watch
saying.
A girl.
Andy S, recurring donator. Mr. Span, recurring donator. Thank you, Mr. Span. McCole F with the recurring donation. Thank you, McCole.
Hey.
Early Days of Photography. Thank you very much for your recurring donation.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy F, recurring donation. Thank you, J Full. KM, recurring donator. I feel like that's new, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah,
but thank you,
I don't remember KM.
Marvin B. Yes, Marvin B.
Yeah, you said you did that. I say, what? Did I donate to the show and didn't know it?
Different KM.
Okay.
Latanya D, recurring donator. Thank you very much. Justin J, recurring donator. Bambi L, recurring donator. Thank you, Bambi. Oh, Bambi H. I'm sorry. Bambi H, thank you.
I'm about to say Bambi
new. Mm-hmm. She knew. Nerds in Luxury, them luxurious ass nerds, recurring donation. Thank you very much, guys. Is this twice? Joseph, oh, another recurring donation? I don't know. Is that a duplicate email? I don't know. Anyway, Joe, thank you. Chriselle M, recurring donator. Thank you, Chriselle. Mm-hmm. Asia D, recurring donator. Thank you, Asia. Michael S, recurring donator. Mm-hmm. Katie G, recurring donator. Adam S, get all this recurring money up in here. Jason J. Everybody recurring. Annie P, recurring donator. Nidra D, recurring donator. We got, why don't this email want to load? Last one. Oh, okay, never mind. I already said that person's name. All right, cool. That's everybody, man. Play me out, Kirk. Look out when you're in town. Show would hate to see you give up now. Cause people. You look so much better when you smile. Let's go.
Smile for me. Whoa. Can you just smile for me? Whatever you're in right now. Smile for me. Smile. Can you just smile for me? And my people say, oh, oh, oh. Even so much better when you, oh, oh, oh. You look so much better when you, oh, oh, oh. And you look so much better when you, oh, oh, oh. And you look so much better when you, oh, oh, oh. And you look so much better when you, and you look so much better when you, and you look so much better when you, always remember, you look so much better when you smile.
Alright, we're going on too long, that people gonna start passing out the plate again. This one's for the kids.
I know. We ain't gonna do the second offering, I promise.
The kids going on a retreat, and they need your money too. So
I know. You know, vacation Bible study coming up.
I know you gave 10% a second ago, but I'm gonna need you to re-up on this shit real quick. All right. We got some 5-star reviews. Got 3 of them on iTunes, none on Stitcher. We Are Not Worthy from Tots Boogie, who says 5 stars, of course. Y'all, we don't deserve Ryder Karen. We don't deserve Ryder Karen. Give listeners so much episodes per week. Each episode is packed with things that make you laugh, think, sometimes cry, feel inspired, etc. I listen to you two many podcasts to catch up every single episode. But what I'm so grateful. Keep up the great work. So sad I wasn't able to see you when you came to DC. Sad face. It's okay, Tots Boogie. We'll be back.
We'll be back.
We're gonna be back. Wine and White People by I2 Todd says, Rod and Karen are keeping me rolling. It's like I'm at the fish fry listening to them talk shit about everything. And they put bleep, but I'm assuming it was shit. All the while, I'm waiting for Rod to drop some more fish while Karen keeps on asking me if I want another beer.
And that's probably how that would go.
I feel like it's the opposite, guys. Karen's more of a fish dropper than me. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll be frying some hell out some fish. But I'm country, y'all. So, you know, be catfish, perch, flounder. Yeah.
I feel like in many ways, I'm not the guy for the grill type dude. Like not that I can't grill. I mean, we used to grill all the time, but mm-hmm. My problem is, I don't care as much as niggas care. So when they start having them fights about, now you got, like, I know y'all have all been part of this, and this is why I hate being on the grill at any event where there's more than, like, where there's a cut too many men, because they come over and want to have a whole fucking philosophical debate about the meat and shit, you know what I'm talking about?
Like, the techniques that you use.
Yeah. Now see, you fucking that up. What you gotta do, you gotta flip it right when the meat gets at its emotional peak, okay? So you don't wanna... Don't flip it till the meat is either sad or angry. Now see, that's a depressed steak right there. You're gonna want to flip that slow. Yeah, put it over there in the corner.
Me and you have passed many of them conversations. I'm like, dog, just hurry up and give me the coleslaw. Right. Pass these niggas while they over here talking out loud. Everybody over there got flip flops and the feet ashy. One uncle got the socks on and the Adidas flip flops. Let's get out of here, dog.
Right. And they slides. And I'm sitting over here the whole time like, well, you do know that, you know, y'all just gonna burn all this shit anyway, because y'all make everything well done. Think something wrong with me? I'll be like, yeah, man, don't put mine on that long, dog. I just want mine medium rare. Oh, nigga, you gonna die. You gonna eat this? Boy, look at all that blood.
And like, they gonna charcoal charcoal the hell out of it. You're gonna be trying to eat a hard ass steak with a plastic fork and spoon, because you know they ain't gonna buy the good ones. Ain't nobody got no good silverware, no cookout.
Yeah, I don't get to be on the grill. I like my shit too.
Right.
I like my shit too pink.
I'm like the white folks that come in there to vegan. I'm like, excuse me. They're like, nigga, if you don't get out of here, I'm like right. them people. You be looking like if you don't get out of here. And I know, and what's even worse is when they start complaining about the particular equipment that you use. Some for charcoal, some for gas, you know, then you start getting in that philosophical debate. You're like, nigga. I'm like, Rob, please pass me the baked beans so we can get away from this.
Yeah, that ain't nothing but an invitation for a conversation I don't want to have.
Yeah, and the sad part about it is that a lot of women don't give them conversations, but truth be told, a lot of women that can actually cook better than men on the grill, because, you know, I got my own little things that I do. I'm not no pit master, but, you know, I've got techniques that I've learned how to use with vegetables and all kinds of shit, just flames.
Yeah, it's just not worth the arguments.
It is not. It's 100 degrees, and I know I'm not arguing with you, Uncle.
Last 5-star review, hardest working mother F words in pod business, 5 stars by Ty MF, who says, now that Apple got their act together and made it easier to leave reviews, I figured it was fine time to show a little love. Yay. Want a podcast that's there when you need it? The TBGW2 gives you 5 episodes a week of pure, I'm assuming flame emoji. You want to be up on everything going on in the world today? The Blackout Tips talks about things from LGBTQ news to the worsening epidemic of sword violence. They're even bringing awareness to hip new performance art like acoustic covers. That's right. As if that ain't enough, they even hit you with bonus premium account throughout premium content throughout the week. If you care about black folks, LGBT folks, black women, seen the movie, don't plan to see the movie, don't care about spoilers, or just don't give a fuck about athletics, this is a community for you to tie up. Oh, that's so dope.
It is, because, honey.
You can find several slogans.
Honey, because me and Justin be like, fuck athletics.
I don't give a fuck about athletics.
Mm-mm, I don't. Y'all know why I came.
Yeah, I guess a lot of y'all don't even know some of these, because you gotta listen to Balls Deep. It's the only time that we really talk about that. But we love
sports show that's non-statistics.
Yeah, we love the show Principles.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys have ever heard Principles, then that's what we got that quote from. That I don't give a fuck about athletics. Fuck sports. And we use that a lot during Balls Deep Sports, because, yeah, it's a sports show, but honestly, we talk a lot more about groupies and
who got arrested
and all kinds.
I don't give a fuck about athletics. Fuck sport.
So, all right, man.
There's nothing else to do, Sal.
Also, Principals come back. Vice Principals come back later this year, and I love that show. Oh. HBO, you just masterful with what y'all do. It's so good. Alright guys, let's get into the comments on the website. We had several comments last episode that we did for feedback was 1488 Black Mama of the Week. We had 5 comments.
I love that cover.
I2Todd says, as my mama would say, people that don't pay bills don't have no damn opinion. I'll give you your opinion. D Ramsey PH Dunn says, love this feedback episode. I do not watch Southern Charm, so I did not know that old what that old Caucasian looked like. Hashtag old whiteness. Yeah, I think I read he was old before, but I just never was bothered to find out how old and all that shit. Dix Tropic says, this was so funny and it made me wonder, how do I make it enough if I'm 10 and you didn't give me enough money? But I did realize early on, before them street lights come on, they start buzzing. Yep.
Oh, everybody, that's right, they start cracking. And you start looking a block down and you start seeing them lighting up behind you.
Mm-hmm. You're running down the street,
right? And all of a sudden one kid will spot it first and say, run. Then all of a sudden you see like 25 kids shoot off in 18 different directions.
Mm-hmm. Really Dark Knight says, my mom would ask me if McDonald's money, if I had McDonald's money, like all black mamas. I spent a lot of my childhood looking for someone named Lit, but never found him.
You ain't gonna find Mr. Lit.
EVE says, stop crying or I will give you something to cry about is another black mama favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I vowed I'd never say that to my child. A few weeks ago, it spilled out my mouth. Damn, I think it's just something in our DNA. I know. I feel that. I wonder, like, because I didn't have kids. Karen and I didn't have kids. So I do wonder if, like, there's a lot of shit that, you know, it's easy in our mind. Like, well, you just talk to the kid and just, but then in real life, it's like, sometimes you just gotta tell a kid to shut the fuck up. And it's,
right. You be like,
you're not your best in that moment. And this is part of the thing, is not everybody's gonna be a perfect parent all the time. You just hope not to be a fucked up one.
Right. And the thing is, no, I'm not a parent, but parents don't have unlimited amount of patience. They don't have unlimited amount of time. They're trying to get shit done. They're trying to do shit. And, you know, your child don't mean no harm, but, you know, you trying to go to school and they fucking around and slow and dragging their feet and don't want to get up. And you're like, look, you're not making everybody late because you don't give a fuck today. So, you know, because children have personalities. So it's one of the things where everything cool and all of a sudden you snap. You're like, if you don't, then this thing, you know, you're going off.
Yep, sometimes you gotta just breastfeed while fucking. I mean, what do I know? Hey, I don't know.
Get a 2-for-1.
Get a 2-for-1, guys. Get it going. All right, the poll was easy. It was, does your mother look like Boo Boo the Fool? Yes. 6.45% of y'all must want your soul snatched out of you because you said, my mama look like Boo Boo the Fool.
Oh, it's supposed to be no. The answer is no. Hope y'all know that.
Now, 9.68% of y'all don't have a black mama, so that makes sense.
Right.
Like, y'all stay out of this. This ain't got nothing to do with you. I'm sure white women do not walk around talking about, do I look like Boo Boo the Fool?
Mm-mm. They going Boo Boo, Boo Boo the Bell, Yogi and Boo Boo?
And then 84% of y'all want to live. Y'all said, no, your mama does not look like Boo Boo the Fool. Shout out to those brave souls, that 7% out there talking about, yeah, y'all.
You would never say to your mama face, though.
Very, very special brand of people. We had episode 1489, Usher, You Got It Bad, with comedian Chris Lambert from the Mundane Festival podcast. Talked about a lot of stuff, and we got some comments, too. Rigo says, on Cisco's Thong Song remix, I don't know, guys. I just pulled the two videos up side by side. Even though the original had a few more thick girls in it, there's a lot of girls and nothing going on. I suspect Cisco may not like a lot in the back. Coke Negro says, Baltimore used to have a lot of no ass at all women in the 80s and 90s. You could be right. I don't know, dog, but it just felt, I mean, maybe to you it's just a few more thick girls, but I could feel all the difference. Like, the Mike, I'm not
melanin
saying
make a difference.
I'm not saying the original Thong Song had nothing but the strippers from the Magic City in it.
Right.
But what I am saying is, you know, celebrating all different types of bodies, you got to sprinkle more than just one black woman in there with some ass.
Yeah.
And this Lewis video had literally one black woman with even a little bit of ass, and the rest was just like literally booty holes. I'm not into it.
I'm gonna put some brown in there.
Yeah, so sorry, buddy, but I'm not giving him a pass. This is worse. And I did notice, so you won't catch me caping for this nigga. Maybe he should do a better job.
Yeah, and I'm a woman, so I noticed the lack of brownness.
Right, so, you know.
You get no infection in your booty hole. It's a booty hole.
I'm assuming it was the other dude doing, but that was a lot of flat asses in there.
Speaking of that, black women still going to see that movie. We went to go eat, what was it, yesterday, and the lady was like, I like your shirt. She had a shirt on for the movie.
Girls Trip. I saw it. I was like, oh, they got Girls Trip shirts. And Karen looked and seen it, and they stopped and said they just came from the movie and they liked it. They told Karen she needed to go see it, and we was like, you know, well, Karen was like, I already seen it, because they didn't talk to me, guys, the whole time. They just addressed directly to Karen and Karen only.
You don't matter.
I'm assuming that's because it was black girl time, and that's fine. But I know how Mike Coulter felt in that movie now, because they was ignoring me like I wasn't even there.
Yeah, you don't matter. And I heard, I don't know when the official numbers come out, but they were saying that Girls Trip bumped the Atomic Blonde at the top three.
Interesting. Across 113th Street says, I too am curious what's going to come of Confederate, but it definitely has potential to be some shit. The most controversial awkward is a slavery in modern day. Imagine a Southern hip hop act being owned by a master and made to perform for entertainment of the white populace. Wait, never mind. Anyway, I really hope they don't write a great white savior to save the free, the slaves. Also, I believe HBO picked up such an idea because it plays the current racial divisiveness of the U.S. Every network is looking for that cash cow for the polarized climate. I don't even know if every network is. A lot of these networks seem scared of this shit. I mean, Underground got canceled.
And they run away from it.
Yeah, a lot of these quote-unquote race shows. I think Shots Fired. Didn't Shots Fired get canceled?
I don't know.
You know what? Don't let me say that. I don't know. 100. I just know some of these shows about race and shit. You know, I don't think people necessarily are wanting to put that in their entertainment right now. I don't think it's a big draw, especially when you consider, as you said, how polarized people are, how divisive, quote unquote, they consider this shit to be. White people just tune out on a lot of this shit.
Yes, they do.
So I don't know that we'll see, man. I understand how people feel about Confederate. I'm not trying to debate with them, but some of the reaction is just so over the top, visceral to me, where I'm just like, I guess, you know, if y'all can get it to not even be a thing, then good luck. You know, I'm not going to participate in that, but, you know, people are trying to boycott it already. People are trying to start like a hashtag thing against it. I honestly am not convinced that it would be terrible. I think there's a chance that it could be good and could be well done. If they get it to market, we'll see. If not, no big whoops. I didn't lose anything by them not making the show. And I also don't care, because I feel like black anger is valid. Our trepidation about historical representation is valid. We don't need to, I don't need to fight you or tell you why you need to do something. This is not that kind of thing. Just, you know, it's a fictional show that they made up. If the shit is good, I'll watch it and be like, cool. If it's terrible, I'm watching it and be like, this shit was whack. Like, I feel like people are heavily invested one way or the other with some of the shit, and it's just not the wave to me. Fireworks says, man, oh man, niggas had time on their hands. That Usher clip was creative and classic. There's also one of R. Kelly and Usher from the Same Girl video. I just hope whoever does these clips are turning this into monetary value. Some of these people are really talented. Case in point, Queen Karen, nice and slow freestyle remix, Flames. Yeah, a lot of these people are really talented, and a lot of them are monetized. I saw something the other day where a dude was talking about how much money he makes making memes. Like, that's how he makes a living.
It's money out there, dog. It's too much talent. I'm surprised. Probably because, you know, a lot of brown people, you know, if this is white folks making this shit, a lot of them, you would hear constantly about how they companies have been offering them shit for their marketing team, but for some reason, black folks get bypassed.
Yep. Falcons Diva says, your discussion on white people dreams versus black people dreams reminded me of an opportunity I had to turn down while in college. I was in the black acting troupe. The director approached me about an opportunity to perform in Aruba for the summer. When I was little, I always wanted to go to Aruba because my grandmother went there when I was around 3 and brought me back a t-shirt. So I was super hyped about this opportunity until she told me that I wouldn't get paid. I would have room and board all summer, but at the end of the summer, nothing. I had to decline because I had to make money during the summer to help pay for college the next year.
Right.
I still look back on that every now and then when the acting bug hits me and think, what if? I did realize my dream of going to Aruba, my work hard play hard mantra is me trying to make up for all the opportunities I missed when I was younger, because I was all about making money. Shoot, if money wasn't such an issue, I know I would not have gotten a degree in accounting. It's all good though. I'm now able to give my niece some freedom and living her life without financial burden. Great show as always. Thanks, Falcons Diva.
Mm-hmm.
Lil Mo says, oh Lord, dumps like a Mini Cooper. That song. Those thong song jokes were hilarious. And EVE says, I don't understand that article about Usher. When you read the article that said the lady suing him has seen the discharge from his penis and she still has sex with him, where they do that at? I have a motto. If the dick don't look right, you must take flight.
Come on.
Well, you know what? I don't know if she saw it before or after. Right. I don't know what happened.
Right. And like I said, on the low, a lot of people have sex in the dark. They don't be looking. They don't be checking. So who knows? Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, she might have had sex with him and not even looked at his penis.
No idea. Do you think Kevin Hart got caught cheating? Yes, no, or none of my business. Sips tea. 30% of y'all say, yeah, I think he did get caught cheating. 7% say, nope. And 63% say, that's none of my business. We got episode 1491 and white people. We discussed a lot of stuff, but mostly white people and drinking. It was a pretty good episode. Will the show have more, will they show more common sense, says, this doesn't even say whose name this is from. Regarding the show about the Confederacy, I won't say anything about the show itself, but I do have a comment about the portion of the interview that you read. I understand how those producers might have wanted people to wait for the show before making comments. However, they should know that that was a patently absurd wish. Nothing about the way the show was announced or the connection to Game of Thrones gave cover to people to wait and see. You could not have had a more "I'm not giving this any real thought" introduction than having it announced the way it was. So if they want more benefit of the doubt, they should have played a bigger role in crafting the initial PR. Was this interview given to your boy Jason Whitlock or something? Also, when you say you can't see Ben claiming he's no sellout, I agree. He might not use those terms, but he would absolutely play a victim of being considered not black enough for his audience. And there are plenty of insiders that will play this up and with the same level of indignation. Hey man, I don't know how you can know that last sentence, but maybe you know the dude personally or something. I don't know him like that. I don't really. Like I said, that was my first introduction to him. Maybe that is how he's gonna play it. I can't say because I don't know the future. I feel like people are so definitive on this, and I think it's because we feel a way already, and therefore it must play out that way. I'm just saying I don't know. So if y'all feel that strongly that that's, you know, these niggas some coons and that's they about to put out some coon bullshit, y'all got it. I'm like, honestly, I don't care that much, to be honest with y'all. I want to see it for my own curiosity or whatever, but if, like I said, if I don't see it, no big shakes. I mean, you know how many fucking TV shows on my DVR? It'd just be a show I didn't watch. Like, but I mean when this kind of concept comes up, I'm always interested in it, you know. And maybe it's some trash and maybe it's whack, you know, who knows. But I just don't feel as definitive as y'all do. Like, the same way I'm not coming on here being like, it's gonna be good, what's wrong with y'all, it's Game of Thrones, they made some good shows, y'all watch Game of Thrones. Like, I'm not saying that shit because I'm like, or because the shit could be whack and I'll be like, and that's why niggas didn't want y'all to do it, you know. I don't know. Alicia N says, Karen and Rod, this episode got me in my feelings. When you were talking about the commercial of black mamas and their kids, I found myself tearing up as I think about the little and big actions my parents did to protect me and my siblings' actions. Still don't know the full weight of it. I'm 27 years old. I grew up in Arkansas, and my parents sacrificed a lot to put me and my siblings in private, mostly white Christian school. As an educator now, I've had a lot of conversations with my mother, a woman raised in public schools in Arkansas, about how she made this decision and how it brought a lot of challenges. She began to talk about the different fears she had. She grew up surrounded by black people and went to a HBCU, so she felt rooted in blackness. She always mentions the first day I came back from kindergarten begging her to perm my hair because I didn't like my braids anymore, because all the little girls in my class had straight hair. She talks about how I started drawing only white children and pictures. She was terrified. She always talks about how she had many conversations with my dad when and how to address blackness, because she wanted us to be like all the other kids, knowing that we really couldn't. My mother, knowing I loved reading, turned to books where I got to see kids who look like me. For my brothers, they put them in sports programs purposely through the local Y so that they would meet kids from all over the city. Those are just small examples of how my parents protected us. I could write a whole pages about thousands of moments when my parents came through for me and my brothers. Yeah, I think most black people could in America.
Yep, in a long time, like you said, it's not until you become an adult that you begin to understand. And for some children, depending on situations, some children actually resent parents growing up for taking the actions to protect them and don't really understand the importance in their sacrifice and don't really understand that parents are human beings also. Like, everybody wants to think of their parents as the quote-unquote perfect parents, but no, parents have tough decisions to make. Parents do things based off of the knowledge that they have at that particular time, based on their own personal life experiences. And as children, it's sad, but as children, you don't give a fuck about what your parents been through and their background and their history until you become older. And then, and some people, but I think, I know I begin to ask my mama questions, find out about history, then you begin to understand why they made the decisions that you made, that they made. And also for me personally, as I got older and as I began to see my mama as a well-rounded human being and not just ask my mama. It helped me to forgive her. It helped me to let shit go. It helped me to let go of a pain and anger and hurt that I had in my heart based off of the decisions that she made that I didn't agree with. And I know I'm not the only one that feels like this.
Yeah. Growing up, realizing my differences and how to deal with it was a series of conversations. I can't point to just one, but the long reflective conversations I've had with my mom now makes me realize the agonizing hours my parents both spent trying to make us aware and proud of our blackness while still wanting to be normal kids. I love this commercial because it gave a glimpse into that. Each one of those scenes represented a moment I or my siblings have had with my parents. Only as an adult do I understand the weight of it. I'm sure if I have my own kids, I understand the burden even more. Thank you both for your thoughtful conversations about these issues. I'm going to go over and post a review of the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
The thing I would add too is every black person knows that watching that commercial that it should be called the series of conversations, because they had a bunch of different kids at different ages, and those are, you have to have each of those conversations. Like, that wasn't just the one. Like, we all know that there's not one talk, there's a million talk, little talks. Mia says the supermom chick just wants a TLC show or something. Yeah, that's why she probably kidnapped herself and lied on them Latino people that don't exist. Hopefully they find the real killers. Falcons Diva says, thanks for sharing that Procter & Gamble video. Also, I had not seen it. Of course, I had to go to YouTube to see it. I loved how it goes through the history of how the talk still needs to be had. I think that's why the first little girl had a white doll appears to be from the 50s and 60s. I agree. You know what's interesting? Only had 5,000 views.
I didn't even know it existed.
Right, if I didn't look for this news for what we do, I would have never found out, and I'm glad I saw it, because I mean one, makes me think about Procter & Gamble in different terms. No offense to all my super woke people that hate all corporations and shit, but it made me think, like, oh well, I know they have a history of pushing for diversity. I didn't know, sometimes you just don't know if they're keeping that shit up or if they really mean it or not. But that was an expensive ass commercial that really said a lot. You know, they have a website behind it and all that stuff too. I don't know, I liked it. Procter & Gamble has had this My Black is Beautiful campaign for some years. I just learned of it at Essence Fest back in 2009. I love what they do with it, but I wish the video was something that was distributed to the masses. It's only on the My Black is Beautiful page, and I think it's only on their My Black is Beautiful YouTube channel. Yeah, so maybe they could make it an actual commercial. Maybe that's something that could be pushed for. Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, it's 2 minutes long. I get that that's a lot of airtime, but why couldn't they put that on during the BET? You know what? Some of y'all niggas will get mad. Catch 22. Anything dealing with blackness. Beautiful. Yeah, anything dealing with blackness is always a catch 22, because some people be like, oh, y'all just gonna put this on for this black ass shit that we watching? Well, what about when it's the Super Bowl? So I don't know. Maybe they could put it out. I would hope they put it out. I would say put it out and deal with the pushback, but it would be dope to put that out there in the black, you know, put that on BET, put some money in their pocket. I don't know, Viacom needs some black dollars too, I guess. I don't know, it's all corporations. Okay, we all going to hell. On the Confederate show, I'm going to wait for your thumbs up before I consider it. Nigga, that's if I give it a thumbs up. Please take with a grain of salt. I don't know if I'm gonna like this shit. I told y'all, it's like a 1% chance they do this right. I'm willing to wait it out and see. This shit is whack. I will be on social media. The way y'all were about Iron Fist is how I'm probably going to end up being about Confederate. I'm like, this motherfucker talking about, you know, but I hope in my heart of hearts, I sincerely hope for the best, because I'm tired of, I'm embracing for the worst, but I really do be hoping for the best. I hope the shit is good.
And that's serious, because niggas was mad about it. I've never seen an episode of Iron Fist, and niggas was mad. Still mad about Iron Fist.
Yeah, I watched it. And, I mean, to a certain extent, I watched it way after everybody else had finished talking about it.
Right.
But I'm kind of glad I waited, because they lowered my expectations enough to where I was like, it's okay. But yeah, before I consider it, I have no problems with movies or TV shows about black pain, but I have so many shows that I watch now lately. When I take on a new show, because y'all mentioned it on the pregame, you and Justin should get some sort of commission, because the Blackout Tills bump is real. Legends! It is real.
Legends, everything.
Work. All right, we had, we did have a poll for this episode, so let me pull that up on my internet and see what we can do. Okay, cool. Did y'all ever get to talk about
hey you what them stank hoes do? Hearty mouth.
This nigga.
Sorry, legends. Did you ever get to talk about being black in America? Yes, no, or I'm not black. 70% of my audience said yeah, they got to talk. 15% says no, they didn't get a talk, and 16% said nah, I'm not black. Fender K says I got to talk, and I grew up in the epitome of the white suburb. I've since had to talk with my daughter, who is just like the girl driving with her mom in the commercial. 90% of common sense parenting I've done, and 100% of my intensity behind it was to teach my daughter how to survive and come home. She's in university now. She's starting to understand why I did what I did, and she is also seeing the privilege of those she grew up around. I'm getting my subscription to Black Mothers Monthly, hashtag BMM.
Me too.
What to give the child who needs something to cry about? Emil says, I may have screwed up the poll. I'm black, but I grew up in Jamaica where we make over 90% of the population, so the talk wasn't necessary. No, it's fine, man. If you didn't get to talk, you didn't get to talk. I'm just interested. 70% is still a hell of a lot of black people.
Come on.
That got these talks about race and how to navigate these structures in order to just survive. Like, that's a lot.
Right. And it's a difference. Blackness is blackness in most places, but it's a difference between being black in America and black outside of America, or black in places where it's more brown people, or you're surrounded by more brown people. The experience is different, but your blackness is still a valid blackness, even though it's a different blackness.
Mm-hmm. We got episode 1491, penis. Tasha Nicole said, Queen Karen said in a most hilarious voice, he's just a man wiping his dick and showing his balls, but a vagina, shut those lips, woman. I have to ask, which lips, Karen? Both sets or what? Laugh my butt off.
Both.
Love you guys.
Both.
All right. And, Ronald responded, Tasha, Karen is on fire. Classic R&B lover says, my understanding of the issues people have with Kathryn Bigelow directing Detroit is not her whiteness per se, as too often our films can't get made without whiteness attached to it, but rather that it's in a typical white woman fashion, black women are all but non-existent in the movie. To then have, once again, in typical fashion, a black man, in this case, Michael Eric Dyson, caping for her serves as icing on the FU cake Bigelow dealt to black women. Okay, yeah, once again, I don't know shit about this story. I've been reading a little bit more about it in the last few days, and I still kind of want to see the movie. We'll see. I mean, as one, you know, as with anything, more information is better. I hadn't specifically seen this critique about her. I do wonder what role black women played in this and whatnot. I've just heard some more details in the past few days about that. It's about this Algiers motel, and these people got killed, a bunch of black men, like two white women were beaten and all this shit. So I still kind of want to see it, but at the same time I completely understand why others would not. And we'll see, man. I'm still reading stuff about people that are, you know, there was a black woman that was like a police either officer or deputy now or something. She was talking about how she don't want to see the movie, but she was saying she didn't want to see it because she don't want to revisit what happened, like, because it was so traumatic to her. So I don't know, but I am reading about it. And Mr. Spann sent me a link where the Detroit Free Press is doing like art interviews with people that were around during that time, some of the officers and all this shit
that are still alive.
Yeah, so okay. It's giving like perspectives on it. But with as anything made by a white person dealing with black shit, there's gonna always be pushback from black people, whether people consider that fair or unfair. It's just par for the course at this point. So, you know, I've had to take everything with a grain of salt, because like I said, I understand some of the shit is just traumatic and black people don't want to revisit it or even visit it at all. You know, it's like I'm trying to keep my chi clear and aligned.
Balance in life.
Right. And I just don't want to fucking throw in negative pollution, even if it's something that, you know, ultimately I would, you know, even if it's something ultimately that you might be educated by or you might learn something about or whatever, it's like, man, I don't want to see this shit that way. And that's valid. I don't know why people come down on each other so hard over that. Like, that's fine if other people don't want to see this. Andrea B says, a highlight of my week was finding out the title Penis, Penis, Penis and where it came from. Goddamn, Karen, I was in tears. Trey Swindu says, thank you, Karen, for what you said about folks not wanting to watch Detroit. That summed up my feelings perfectly. Kudos to Rod for being willing to watch that and Confederate. I just couldn't do it myself. Shrugs. Much love to you guys. Thanks for being you, Trey. I understood, dog. Thank you. I understood. EVE says, I'm with Karen about Detroit. Even looking at the promos had me turn the channel because it's just too close to what's happening today. And it just gets exhausting watching black pain portrayed over and over again, especially through the white gaze. But it does help that black women have once again been, it doesn't help that black women have once again been erased from the narrative. No thanks. Yeah, I would, if y'all have something specifically about that, like an article or something, shoot that to me. One of y'all, y'all get together collectively and decide which one of y'all is going to do it. Cause I honestly hadn't heard that till just now. Mm-mm. So if that's the issue, then, you know, let me know. Do you avoid movies about black pain? No, I'm black. Yes, I'm black. Or I'm not black, but wanted to get vote in this poll. 8.7% of y'all are black, not black, but y'all just wanted to vote in this poll. I knew y'all needed something to do. Yes, I'm black. 26% of y'all say yes, I avoid movies about black pain and I'm black. There's nothing wrong with that. And then 65% says no, I don't avoid movies about black pain, and I'm black. So yeah, it's pretty, that actually came in a higher percentage than I thought most people probably avoided that shit. You know, which I can understand, you know. Like I said, no judgment free zone. You don't want to watch that shit, don't watch it. Do not catch yourself trying to do some shit just cause it's not an endurance test. Mm-hmm. And too many people treat these movies and these things like endurance tests. To me, that's not what it's about, being like, I'm tougher than you, I can take it. Or, you know, I walk out of something and talk about how painful and emotional I felt. Like, that's not why I watch it. I do watch to be entertained, I do watch to learn, but I don't watch to be like, I'm so tougher than you niggas.
Right. And a lot of people get judgment for that. And like we said, with TV shows and other shit, a lot of people have pressure of always being in the know and always wanting to be in the groups of the clique that constantly talk about shit. And when your timeline is lit up and you have no idea what they're talking about, some people feel left out. So even if it's not their thing, they'll do it anyway. Don't do that. I'm like, I can say, I'm okay, I'm comfortable enough in my own skin to be, fuck it, I don't know, I'm not voicing my opinion, and I go do some other shit, and next 24 hours I'll be talking about something else.
Yeah, it's like that thing where motherfuckers be like, when they watch, I mean, it isn't okay, it's gonna sound like shade, but I swear to God, I do not mean this in a shady way, but it's like when motherfuckers watch 12 Years a Slave and they come out and the only thing they gotta tell you is how brutal and hard it was to watch.
Yes, sir.
And I'm like, okay, but was it good?
Right, that's not a way to
cause that's, you know, cause like cause it's one thing to say it was brutal and hard to watch and nigga, you should not watch this. I get that point of view. Cause I'm like, yeah, if something is brutal and hard to watch, why the fuck would I pay $15 to eat my popcorn and watch slavery? Like, and
that's why I personally tapped out, because that's all I seen for days. I was like, nigga, I'm not watching that.
Right. I'm like, is it good or not?
Right.
So, you know, I went to go see it, and this is not me, like I said, this isn't me being cold blooded, but I'm like, oh, it was a good movie. And it wasn't as hard for me to watch as people promoted it to be. Like, I feel like a lot of times what happens is you're patting yourself on the back by being like, I watched this brutal film and it was so difficult and you could never take it, but you have to as a black person. I'm like, no, the fuck we don't. That's not what entertainment should be for us, where we just have to keep subjecting ourselves to being like over and over and over being traumatized. That's not why I watch it. So like, you won't ever catch me walking out of film and being like, you need to watch it or you lose your black card or whatever.
I like, if it's good or not, it's that simple to me. Like, I'm like, yeah, y'all, it's painful, but it's good. Or is painful, but it's bad. And like you said, particularly with that particular movie, nobody ever came and said it was good or bad. They was like, I was crying in my popcorn and over my red Fanta. Bitch, I don't want to see that.
Right. It was all about, because I feel like in a way it's all about glorifying and putting yourself on a pedestal. Like, look what I did for blackness. Right. It's like, nigga, all you did was watch a movie. It ain't that complicated. What I am drawn to is, you know, one, a lot of times these movies, you know, when they are well done and they're good, I enjoy them, to be honest. Like, I just like a good movie. Not everything gotta be a comedy for me. Mm-hmm. I understand some people, that's their, it's like, nope, it gotta be on joke time or something. For me, everything doesn't have to be that. That mm-hmm. being said, you know, there's certain movies I haven't seen. There's movies where I get excited about seeing them. They come out and like I said, the response to them will make me feel less and less like seeing it. Fruitvale Station was a movie like that where it was really, I heard really good things coming out. Like, I think it was either Sundance or mm-hmm. Cannes or what. I heard mm-hmm. really good things. But as I got closer and closer to seeing it, everybody I know that saw it talked about how hard it was to watch and how much mm-hmm. they cried and how emotionally yeah. brutal it was.
Oh, I never seen it.
Okay. And Karen is super excited about all the movies she didn't see. Like, she like, I didn't see that either. Didn't see it. I know, Karen, we know you ain't see it. Okay. Karen ain't seen none of these movies. Nope. I just like disclaimer up front. What I was trying to say is this. I wanted to see it. You know, Michael B. Jordan's in it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see it, but it's like the vibe around it as it got closer and closer coming out was just very much a like, don't go see this because it's too much. It's too, oh my God, I almost killed myself in the theater. I bought gasoline to put over my body and burn myself in front of the screen. Like, are you happy, white people? And I'm like, you know what, dog?
You happy now?
I'm like, you know what, dog? I don't even care that much. Like, I wanted to see how Michael B. Jordan's performance was. Will he get nominated? How powerful was the story? How good was it? What, you know, like, what elements did, you know what? Don't care anymore. You guys got it. You know, I just started watching The 13th because everybody that was watching The 13th was talking about how fucking depressed they were and sad it was. I was like, well, shit, man. I really want to see this doc, but at the same time, I don't want to be like, you know, cause that's the thing. If I talk about something, you know, if I watch something and talk about it, sometimes I even say for the podcast, and y'all notice from my reviews, like, I'm not going to talk to you and tell you how, oh man, I was crying and, you know, I just, you know, it's so sad. Like, I just want to be like, oh, this part was dope. They did this well. They did that not well. That's what I want to talk about. So it's a little different for me, when it comes to this shit. But yeah, I you know, I still do feel like I want to see Detroit, but you know, we'll see, man. I also don't remember what comes out that week. So if motherfucking Thor come out that week, then they shit out of luck. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Is. I'm going to see Thor.
I don't know what's.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. I think a lot of people go see these movies, see a lot of this stuff, and they just hit play when it goes, nobody knows the trouble I see. And you're like, oh,
yeah, okay. It's just, like I said, I don't like it when you use a movie to shame black people. That's right. What I hate. Because too many people hit you with the, like, I saw that movie, and anybody that didn't see it,
you ain't shit.
I cried. I did everything. I ripped my garments off.
Right. To cover myself in ash.
But let me tell you, if you don't see it, you will sell out Uncle Tom Coon. And I'm like, that's not how you get to see me, to see a movie. That's not how it works. You know what I mean? So yeah, if you want to tell me, well, like Trey Swindle said, The 13th was informative though. Right. I'm just saying, if you review it or if you're talking to me about it, lead with that shit.
Right.
You can't lead with, nigga, I was crying for 3 days. I'm like, I don't know if that's what I want to see, dog. Mm-mm. Like, tell me it has some information you didn't know about.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So,
like, a lot of times, that don't be the lead. In my opinion, that be the problem. I'm like, I'm good. Like, and Roger joking, but yeah, it's a lot of shit I don't watch because all I see across my town, I was crying for weeks. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to cry. I cry enough in real life. I don't want to watch shit and cry too.
Yeah. You know. So, all right. Last one, episode of the week. 1492 Reek Overboard. Amani says, passion of the Reek bike. Fuck that nigga always and forever, ain't shit changed, and I don't know how many seasons people gonna keep making excuses for him and waiting to do the right thing. Meanwhile, Euron came through and crushed the builders and fucked up Colleen Wing and the Sand Snakes like it was nothing. Yeah, I enjoyed that because I don't like the Sand Snakes. John ain't never getting his castle. Oh, I will say this is the best fight choreography the Sand Snakes ever had, though. Sad that it was in the fight they got their ass kicked.
Right.
John ain't never getting his castle back. Sansa been undermining him this whole season in public. Now she running shit and he left her alone with Littlefinger. Fuck you doing, fam? Didn't Stannis warn you about that when Thorne was around? You can't grip up Littlefinger Kelly and then just leave like shit cool. Ned did the exact same thing in season one and it cost him his head. But the timing might work out for John meeting with Dany. With the Greyjoys getting fucked up and them not getting the Dornish army, if she still wants Westeros troops, she might have to make a deal with the North and the Vale. I just want to know what Davos is going to do when he sees Melisandre in Dragonstone, right?
Yeah, what John going to do?
John too. They both said they kill her if they saw in the North, but I don't think them niggas going to do shit down there. Plus, you know, she going to be under Daenerys' protection. Yeah. Randall Tarly, the John McCain of Westeros. He talked that good game about honor and what's right, but he's still gonna fall in line behind that racism. And you were asking about the dragon skull they shot. That was Aegon's dragon, Balerion, when they conquered the Seven Kingdoms originally way back in the day. Cersei out here defacing historical monuments over some petty.
She don't care nothing about the museums.
Add getting Qyburn linked up with Jaime and the Lannisters to the long list of things Rob fucked up as a king of the North. Yeah, man. I mean, like, I knew who the dragon was. I just thought it's an old fossil dragon skull. I don't know that really proves you can kill a moving, breathing, live, fire breathing.
Because that one didn't move. Like, a real one ain't gonna be straight and like hit me right here.
Like, is Drogon gonna just sit there and let these niggas shoot them?
Mm-mm.
Numeria was big as fuck, but that reminds me, where the fuck is Ghost? I don't think we've seen him since Jon came back to life. And speaking of Arya's reunions this season, her and the Hound both in the Riverlands headed north. Might be time to get the best buddy comedy back on the road. House Jackson still staying warm all winter long. Listen, I forgot about that. I do need to see not just Arya, but Brienne seeing the Hound alive would be so dope. What's gonna happen?
That's right.
What's gonna happen? They both think that nigga dead.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Kunfusha says, don't even watch Game of Thrones, but I love these recap episodes. Great job as usual, y'all. C6 says, FYI, Jorah Mormont, Jorah's dad, was the Lord Commander of the Night's Watch when Jon and Sam first joined. Oh, we know he gave the sword to John, that Valyrian steel sword that John has. I think the reason Sam wanted to help Jorah is because Lord Commander Mormont was one of the first set Sam on the path to the Citadel by assigning him to work under Master Aemon, and also the one who set John on the path to be the next Lord Commander. Yeah, I mean, he let John kill him to work to be in with the Wildlings. I mean, dude was a G far and through. True. J.M. Mutore says, I love these recaps more than the show itself, but I also got a question for Rod. Why are you so hard on Theon? Okay, see, what we not gonna do is come up here caping for Theon. Okay? Like, you can save that Make America Great Again shit for somebody that cares. Okay?
I don't think he cares, baby.
I don't even know if I want to read the rest of your comment. That's how disgusted I am that you would write this show and try to act like this kid killing rapist motherfucker is worth defending. No, we're not gonna do that. Let me see if there's something else you talked about. So we cannot be giving this any airtime. Listen, when it comes to politics, I'm not a two sides of the same coin, nigga. I'll vote Dems any chance I get. But when it comes to the Game of Thrones, I comfortably betray every house ain't shit. Nigga, it's different degrees of ain't shit. And we all know that. I'm going to have to refresh because I'm roboting. That's how angry you have me right now. People in the chat can't even hear what I got to say. Let me refresh. Hold on. I'll be right back, guys. Then we're going to get this nigga. Can't believe this motherfucker came up here mad. about some damn Theon. All right, I'm almost back. Oh, here we go. Yes, I want to be back on screen. How would you know? All right, cool. I should. Am I back on screen?
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah. Well, we not about to do this, bro. Okay. No disrespect to you. I appreciate you as a fan.
Catch me outside. How about that?
You can catch me outside. Yes, Theon burned some farmers' kids for the sake of propaganda. So what? What? Who says shit like that? So Robb Stark probably condemned hundreds of kids north and south to death over an overblown family squabble, and he got to die a martyr. Well, if you've been listening to this fucking recaps for a long time, which you probably haven't, or you forgot, nigga, I don't fuck with Robb either. Robb, old simp ass, got killed listening to Lisa. He should've been listening to his motherfucking mama, who knows something about Nora. Talisa wasn't even from all this. I don't even think she was royalty. She was just a fucking nurse. This nigga fucked up the whole North talking about some, I'm in love. Well, nigga, now you in the grave. Dead. Goddamn, Danny Targaryen is contemplating doing the same thing and burning all those kids in KL just so she could sit on a fancy chair. What kids in King's Landing? Ain't no kids there no more. Cersei blew up the Sept. Everybody left. Remember that conversation the dude had? He's like, it's the hood now. The only kids left is fucking Qyburn's, pigeons or whatever the fuck we call them, and them niggas can die because they done got way more people killed for some candy than any
come
of them
on
other
for
kids.
Some bread.
Get the fuck out of here. If we're being honest, all the characters in this show are classes assholes who benefit from the totalitarian feudalism and don't give a fuck about the people beneath them. Okay, cool. So your whole thing is they ain't shit. All of them ain't shit. Well, then I don't like Theon, so what's the point of calling up a caper for him? He's still part of it, right? The Greyjoy is still trying to get power moves, right? Okay. If we're going to start judging the main characters based on the violence they commit against the poor, well, shit. I didn't say it's because... See, now that's your fault. I didn't say it was about because them kids was poor. I said it because them kids was kids. Damn. You evil. Something wrong with you. Who cares if them kids was poor or not? The nigga would have... I don't like... If they would have killed fucking Bran Stark, I'd be like, damn, nigga, he a kid. When motherfucking Jamie set everything off, pushing this little motherfucker out of a window. Was you like, well, if we're gonna judge, we really shouldn't pass judgment on people for having incest sex and pushing people out the window. What's the point of watching the show then? Come on, man. You know what? I'm just gonna leave it alone. Well, shit, we'll never find a winner, or maybe I'm reading too far into it. You're not reading far enough. That's what you're not doing. And I don't know about winner. It's winning the throne, possessing the Iron Throne. It's not, to me, it's not about that making you a right person or making you good. Cersei could win the Iron Throne for all I know. I'm just watching the story. But the story doesn't mean I have to root for fucking Theon and his motherfucking kid killing rapist sister fingering ass. I don't have to do that.
Oh Lord.
The best day of my life was when Theon thought he was about to eat his own dick. Cause it's a sausage that like he the only person that I was like, you know what? Go ahead and get him, dog. You know, fuck him. I can't believe y'all out here caving for this. What y'all gonna, you gonna write up here about R. Kelly too?
I hope not. No,
come on, man. Really Dark Knight says it's 6 days later. I'm still on team. Fuck Theon for real. Fuck that dude forever. That's cause you a real one. Really Dark Knight. Now, not everybody got the heart to be a real one like me and you. Okay. Not everybody got the heart to keep their hate up. Okay? Some of these people, you cut a nigga dick off and now I'm supposed to be like, oh, well, I guess he's paid enough. Nope. Not enough. Not ever till you dead. Do you think them little burnt up kids feel like it was enough? Them two little innocent kids probably just playing in the barn. Now they dead, hanging and burned up. You think he was like, you think they ghost is up in heaven like, oh, you know, it's cool. Don't even let it, just let it slide. Fuck that. I'll never forget Theon. It's nothing he can do. Eve says, I wonder if Gendry will find Theon floating in the river. I bet Gendry will be swole as fuck from rowing for 6 seasons. Yo, his arms gonna look like motherfucking David Robinson or Kevin Willis. That motherfucker arms about to be, arms about to be defined as shit, dog. I bet Cersei will lose her mind when she finds out that Robert Baratheon's bastard is still alive. I wonder how that will change the dynamic of the show. I don't know. If she finds out, you know, if she finds out, Gendry done kept his head down for a long time. A real long time. And he must not be surmounting no type of insurrection, because, I mean, he could theoretically get people to unite behind his last name. Like, I got a claim to the throne, but that he also, if he ain't got no army and he ain't got no people, that's a death sentence for him. All right, we got a couple voicemails. I'll see if I can play them. I haven't listened to these yet, so we'll see together if this works.
Hey, Rod and Karen, it is Elizabeth from Northeast Tennessee. Was listening to your penis episode and heard y'all commenting about how you didn't necessarily understand how the vandalism was not a crime against a person. I'm a lawyer, so I thought maybe I could explain that right quick for y'all. Crimes are usually divided in the criminal codes of various states into crimes against property, which is stuff like vandalism, burglary, robbery, you know, all those things. And then crimes against persons, which is like assault, battery, murder, sexual assault, all that kind of stuff. And then a couple of weird things that don't necessarily fit, like inchoate crimes, which is conspiracy, and crimes against public health, safety, and welfare, which tends to be like where DUI falls in and stuff like that. And I'm not saying I agree with it, because I don't, but apparently what Vermont has done with their statute is they have said you can't designate something as a hate crime unless it falls into the categories of crimes against persons. Mm. And I totally see where somebody who is a layperson would say, you know, you spray paint my name with a racial slur, you know, you've committed a crime against me. And I get that. But technically, the subject of the vandalism is the destruction of property, not the harming of an individual, which tends to be the difference between personal and property crimes. So that's what's going on with all that. It's some bullshit. Vermont needs to reconsider their hate crime laws, obviously. Love what you guys do. Love the show. Love y'all so much. And I hope the voicemail actually is working this week. Have a good one. Bye.
Apparently it is working.
Thank you. Yay.
Thank you for the voicemail. And yeah, I didn't know that, so that makes sense. I guess it's just weird, because it's like, if theft is a property crime, if I rob your house because you're black, that's still not a hate crime. It just feels weird, but you know, I get it. For the idea of how we're going to prosecute something, you need some type of order and some rules, and I can see why that would seem like a good rule. All right, next voicemail.
This is Jessica from the Association of National Advertisers.
What? No, nigga. Well, no. What is this? I just thought I would call to give y'all this wonderful business opportunity. Yeah, I got their email, and they wanted some money from us, and I was like, for real? Because it was like basically long behind the scenes stuff, but for y'all, but it was like there's an award for people that are advertisers for that are like really inclusive, you know, like people that are pro LGBTQ, pro you know, all this stuff. And I was like, okay, sounds okay. But then the award was like, you need $700 to even be to nominate your to be nominated for this award is $700 an inch. I was like, this just seemed like a hustle. So
yep.
Yeah, I'm good on that.
Yep, all that stuff. Like, hey, we got something for you, but you know what? You got to pay. Nah, right. That's not how shit works.
Right. All right. Lastly, we have a few emails. Erica says, hello, Rod and Karen. This is Erica from Cleveland. Just wanted to write in and tell you guys that you are the shit. I listen every day from my cubicle. It's something I look forward to daily. I get my news from you. I get my much needed laughs from you and encouragement to be a better, more tolerant person. Also, I'm thinking I want to start trolling white people by covering their songs. I want to niggify white classics. Anyway, I wish you guys, niggify sounds like the cousin of Spotify. It's an app for Spotify.
You got that niggify dog.
All right. Send me your niggify playlist. Anyway, I wish you guys to success. If you're ever in Cleveland, hit me up so I can buy you guys a round of drinks. Sincerely, Erica. Thanks, Erica.
Thank you.
Let's see. Allegra says, hey, both of you. I'm in the middle of you and Karen when it comes to watching things that are historically based and focused on black and brown and marginalized people struggle and death. It took me 10 plus years after the movie was released before I saw Amistad. I think I saw that in the theater.
I saw that with you in the theater too.
Yeah. You know the best thing about watching Amistad though? the jokes in a scary movie. Cause I could get them jokes. But yeah, that was, anyway, cause Amistad to me was not a good movie.
Oh, like, it was terrible.
That is one thing I will say, and I don't consider
it. It was actually funny when it wasn't meant to be funny.
Yeah, I don't consider enough. One, I have a dark sense of humor. So that's part of it. Like, if your slave movie is bad, I actually will laugh. I'll be in the theater like, this, what? You know, like it's kind of like Prometheus for me, where I can get it both ways. Like, so you made a bad sci-fi movie. Ah, that sucks. But is the movie still ridiculous because it's funny because it's ridiculous? I can still watch Prometheus. I own it on Blu-ray. It's still a ridiculous movie to me. Same thing with 12 Years a Slave. I have, in a lot of these movies, 12 Years a Slave is excellent. This is not shade at the movie. But a lot of movies, when they have certain lines and shit, I laugh out loud, and I know no one else in the theater is going to, but it's funny to me, like when Tom Cruise's character, I mean, not Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt's character says to the nigga that played Magneto, fuck is his name? Why am I drawing a blank? Michael Fassbender. Well, he says to Michael Fassbender at the end, where he's... See, I'm laughing thinking about it. That's why it's not fair, man, because I know most of y'all can't laugh thinking about this shit. But when he goes, these niggers are people, I laugh like shit in the theater. Like, oh, that's the big realization in this film, which is that these niggers are people. And he was the good guy. He was the best white dude. Like, he wasn't a white savior, but he was the best white dude in the film. To be like, that shit makes me laugh. Oh man.
Yeah, and to give us free, I think we busted out laughing in the theater when he said that line. We did.
I was like, man, these white people are crazy. Same thing with
Give Us Free.
A Time to Kill, when the big reveal was him being like, now imagine that little girl was white. I was like, that's how you want, nigga. White people ain't shit. That's really what the film should all be called. Like, we keep flooding them under slavery and black plane. It should all be called white people ain't shit films. And, yeah, like I said, if it's bad, it'll make me laugh. And sometimes even when it's good, some of the big conclusions and reveals are always so obvious and ridiculous that I'm like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have killed them children. Like, right. Oh, for real? Okay. That's one of the things I forget to mention, because even in 12 Years a Slave, I did laugh at that shit, and I laughed at how fucking racist Paul Giamatti was. And I'm like, what made him pick to do this role? Because Paul just cruising by on just like being one of those people that is not, what's the best way to put this, what a lot of people would consider to be traditionally attractive. Yet he is prospering like a motherfucker off the skills of just straight acting. And when that nigga was the racist auctioneer in this movie, I was like, why did he pick this role? Like, he was good at it. Like, his niggas hurt. He's like, listen, this nigger's worth at least 45 cents. So I'm like, god damn, he bought in. He bought in. Boy, you never go full racist, okay? Him and Michael Fassbender, I don't know why they both bought all the way into them roles. They did.
It was like, we all in.
I'm like, y'all know y'all not going to be able to go nowhere around black people for at least a year. Like, you can't show up at the BET Awards except your BET nomination for the most racist white person in the movie. Because that dude, and then in 42 with the Jackie Robinson story, mm-hmm. That dude was like, come on, nigger. Come on, try to get it.
Yes!
I think that might have been my boy from
He bought it. He bought all into it. He was good at it.
I think that's the dude from, he played the robot in Star Wars, the latest Star Wars, the one where everybody died.
And yes, he did.
And he played in Firefly, which is one of my favorite series. But man, I couldn't believe, I was like, yo, you really went in.
He did, and he did such a good job.
He brought the sizzle. He brought the sizzle, man. So yeah, I don't know that I'm really even the best person. Like, if you don't align with my values, please don't go out here trying to be like me and watch these movies, because I'm quick to laugh at some shit that's fucked up and be like, of course that motherfucker did that shit, and laugh and be like, why ain't white people some shit, and walk out smiling looking at the other white people in the film like, y'all fucked up, y'all are some assholes. So it's a little different for me. I feel like some people walk out and it's just like, I was crying for hours, I was so sad, and I don't have that when I watch movies. But anyway, but yes, Amistad was terrible. There's nothing worse than a movie that's a slavery movie where it's not good and it's not bad enough to laugh at.
Ugh. Right. That's where that movie failed.
That's a long 2 hours, dog.
Right. Like I said, 90 minutes max. I don't know. Not anything after 90 minutes, you better be goddamn entertaining.
That's a long 2 hours, dog. When it ain't funny and it ain't good either, it's just, like, just let these niggas free already.
Right. It ain't good, bad. It's bad, bad. Mm-mm.
Right. But you know, still interesting. I still have not watched The Help or 12 Years a Slave, nor have I watched Selma. I did see, Hidden Figures, and cried out of anger that it took this long to even learn about the phenomenal women. Yeah, see, Hidden Figures is such a fun film. And I did have a little anger of not knowing about them, but that's mm-hmm. more anger about white supremacy than the movie.
Right.
And I honestly, whether I watched the movie or not, I would have felt that way as soon as I heard that story. Like, why the fuck didn't we learn about them then? Cause they black women? Like, that's okay. Y'all have a whole motherfucking month of black history, and I've had it, you know, had it every year through school, and not once did this come up. Come on.
Not once, dog.
I watched a year after the release, Fruitvale Station, and I cried. I think I lived near the BART station at that time of Oscar Grant's death, so it hit close to home. Literally, like you, Rod, I do not and will not judge others, and like Karen, I pick and choose. Yeah. And I pick and choose, too. I mean, it's not like I watch all these movies. I think expressed a little bit more in depth on this episode that sometimes the shit is just too much. Fruitvale is one of those movies I didn't see because of a lot of people being like, it's just too much. It's too much close to home. It's too much. And I'm like, all right, don't sound like it's going to be nothing good about it, really. I hope Michael B. Jordan win an Oscar. Good luck. Education, or rather lack thereof, has always been a passion for me, and as each generation progresses, we get further and further away from the history of our country in relation to all who are non-white. Kids only get the regurgitated story of Martin Luther King, not even a complete story, and Rosa Parks, not even a complete story, and the occasional mention of Harriet Tubman. It's frustrating that we are constantly and consistently erased and then continually told to get over 100 years of slavery and segregation. Allegra A. Yeah, it's real catch-22, which is why I be so passionate about seeing some of this shit, because I'll be like, y'all not fitting to erase this shit and then have me feeling stupid for not knowing. That's my personal I don't know, mantra. Mm-hmm. You know, when I see some of this shit, I'm just like, y'all trying to erase us, and you think you slick, you think we don't know. But every time I read like that move bombing shit that the documentary, like, I'm so glad I know that now, because I would have never known that without the internet, without social media, and just, you know, the occasional like person being like, oh, did you hear about this? I wouldn't know. Like, those type of stories used to get relegated to like myths and shit, and maybe this happened, or kind of, you know. But when you can go back, look at archive footage and shit, and see them break down like, this is what really happened. Hey man, look, I'm so happy to be alive at a time we can do that, because I feel like a lot of our shit is getting uncovered that was meant to be hidden, and we was never supposed to know about it. Yep. You know, and I'm sorry it makes people feel bad. I'm not telling people to go out and start feeling bad, but
right.
For me personally, I need to know, you know. Hi y'all. This is Amon. She says, hi Rod and Karen and Karen's evil doppelganger Sharon from Earth 2. FYI, Sharon actually watches Insecure and Queen Sugar Rod, so be careful. Karen watches Insecure now. But not Queen Sugar yet. Mm-mm. Thank y'all so much for the recast. I love them so much. I fell out for a while for my mental health, but I came back 2 weeks before Game of Thrones premiere. Y'all do so much for us, so thank you. Thank you, Rod. Theon is a please say an old man, Steak Miner's voice from the Boondocks. A bitch ass knucker! For leaving his sister like that. There are folks out here talking about Reek is doing, about what Reek is going to redeem himself. Y'all said that when he quote-unquote save Sansa, which all he did was save himself. Nigga, y'all just jumped off a wall. What the fuck? What was she supposed to do? Anyway, before the show ends. Now, I hope he falls on his motherfucking sword. Why is it that folks always want sorry ass folks to redeem themselves, i.e. Eugene from The Walking Dead? Thank you for that recap show as well, because I don't watch The Walking Dead. Oh wow, do you still remember that? Yeah, Eugene is trash though. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I think Ari, by the way, for the record, I love what they're doing with Eugene on the show compared to the comic book.
Me too. Agreed.
Other than that, I think Arya is going to turn around and go to King's Landing after seeing her wolf Nymeria saying, "This isn't you." I think was more for herself than speaking to the wolf. She still has a long list of names to scratch off. Yeah, it's getting there. Either that or she goes to Winterfell, kills Littlefinger, and realizes she has more killing to do, then goes to kill King's Landing. I would hope she lets Sansa see her, but she's so badass she may not. Love you guys, heart, you're the best, take care of mine. Yeah, that's the thing. Anybody could walk up to Sansa next week and we could be like, is that Arya or what? Just want to say hi and thank you. This is from a man, B Touch, who was just on the show. Hi, Ryder, Karen. I apologize for the late letter, but I just wanted to thank you both again for inviting me on the show last week. I really enjoyed it and appreciate being a part of the show. I've started my new job this week and it's really going well. They actually let me order what I liked and needed to set my system up. Hey.
Hey, good.
He put, that's never happened before. Is that even common, or have I just had bad luck until now? Bruh, don't give me the line. All my jobs, like, I remember the only time I really had to put something in is if I could order something from that office book, be like, I need this type of mouse. And that was a big day for me. I was walking around like, celebrate left-handed mouse pads. It's a celebration. Like, that was like the bare minimum. Like, they spent $15 on me. Let me tell you something. My man love me. Get you one that could do both. That's how I felt about my job, bragging about regular shit they probably should be doing for everybody.
Right.
Karen, I'm so glad you finally seen all of Insecure. I can't wait to play the premium recap episode y'all recorded yesterday, as I know it's going to be lit. Thanks once again for everything y'all do for us. Have a wonderful week. Regards, be touch.
Thank you,
dog. And that's almost everything. We got two little hand note letters here. Happy birthday, Rick and Cindy, to Karen, who they sent you from Soul and Substance, right? They sent you the were they the people that sent you the
they sent the wine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. okay,
that's wrong. Listen, one,
it's not our birthday, not neither one of our birthdays,
but I celebrate all year.
But you know what, it's my birthday. We're gonna sip champagne like my birthday
all year long, y'all.
Yeah, but they sent us from trianglewineco.com, of course. Shout TVGWT, get 10% off. But yeah, money. They sent us some more wine for Karen's sweet Negro palate. So we appreciate that, Rick and Cindy.
Make sure
I read that right. Yeah, okay. I thought I fucked up y'all name. But wait, are they actually, no, Triangle Wine Co. is Tiffany. I don't even, you know what, man? Somebody sent us some wine and they put a card that said Rick and Cindy. So I don't know. I hope I'm not fucking that up.
Thank you, Rick and Cindy.
But still go to Triangle Wine Co. and get y'all 10% off though. Okay, where my alcoholics at? Okay, watch Game of Thrones, pull me some wine, and I'm gonna pretend I'm Cersei. And lastly, Karen got some earrings. Mm-hmm. You got two pairs of earrings.
Yes, I did.
One was like, what, some Chinese lettering or Japanese mm-hmm. lettering, and then the other one was what, you remember?
A black girl with an afro.
Mm-hmm. And she put, hey Karen, I love you and Rod, y'all feel like family to me. The work you're doing is great. I hope you love these pieces. And
I do.
That was from Soul and Substance. I think it's Quiana. Soul and Substance .etsy.com is where you can get more of that stuff. And I think Karen already took pics with them and stuff. Mm-hmm. If you're on social media, you saw them. But yeah, they look fly as fuck. So that's it, that's everything, guys. This is a short one, but we had a good time and we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.